The World Needs Scientology. The year of 1968 was full of storms. It was a fitting example of man's lack of skill in politics, international relations, personal understanding, and tolerance. The physical sciences are advancing into a world where the humanities have lagged behind, and 1968 was a great example of it. However, in the world of Scientology in 1968, we had many wins. This was the year when the Scientologists pitched in. This was the year when you began to help me carry the load, for which I thank you from the bottom of my heart. So hello, you beautiful people. I have not been amongst you physically for a while, but I've been with you in spirit, and you've done well. Our orgs, our staffs, our Scientologists are doing very well indeed. More self-determined, more competent, and more free. And thank you for all you've done in 1968, and all you are doing now. You are making the world a better place to live. In 1968, there were many advances. Technical, organizational. Possibly the biggest advance was, of course, the development of Class 8 auditing. I don't think this advance was well understood by many. Unfortunately, it was given out as the answer to out-tech. Actually, only a few cases of out-tech were ever discovered. Forgive me for invalidating good auditors. They did not deserve to have it stated that their tech was out. After a very few out-tech instances were found, it was discovered that in-tech was the real order of the day. Nearly every auditor was really doing his tech as well as he had been taught. So thank you, and as I say, forgive the way it was announced. It was not a polite thing to do. Class 8, as many have since discovered, was a brand new breakthrough, not a cure. 100% gains became attainable in minimal time. 100% with Class 8 meant 100%. By simplifying the application of Scientology processing, I was able to teach auditors at a high level how to do what only I had been able to do with case supervision before that. This new system of simplified communication and procedure brought more gains faster. It reduced review necessities. It sent cases soaring, and it placed in every org a safeguard against technical difficulties. Class 8 was a very great advance. It was a new look in auditing. This was the primary tech development of 1968. It was quite marvelous, really, the way we got the Class 8s in, got them trained, and got them back to their orgs. There was a lot of humor and goodwill in all this. Sea Org members posed the pictures you saw in the auditor. There wasn't a Class 8 in the lot. The Class 8s from orgs were all down below studying like mad, and we couldn't disturb them to get the auditor pictures. Very amusing, really. Afterwards, I said to myself, when I make Ron's Journal 68, I'll have to tell people these weren't Class 8 students but members of the Sea Org. We don't deal in deception. You may have missed the line that said it was posed. The Sea Org, too, changed in 1968. It was formed, originally, to be rough and tough, but Scientologists don't naturally hold such an image. In 1968, the Sea Org became a goodwill activity and an efficient administrative arm of Scientology. The Sea Org, as you know, runs the advanced organizations and is the custodian of the clear and OT processing materials. The Sea Org's going along fine. It now has 5 ships. These are great guys, the tops. The heroes of 1968 were the Scientology Guardians offices, the Guardian Mary Sue, the Deputy Guardian Jane Kember, who has now been appointed Guardian, and all the assistant Guardians around the world, one in each org, began to handle attacks on Scientology and safeguard orgs across the world. They made terrific progress. You are all indebted to them, and so is mankind, more than they'll ever know. And speaking of Mary Sue, I'd like to give you, as any fond father would, a bit of family news. Mary Sue is still beautiful. She's a very able being. And she works very hard for you, as I'm sure you all know. Diana is her lovely golden-haired self. She still plays the piano. She serves now as Commodore's staff number one and keeps the communications flying. Quentin has just gotten his class six, the first one to come all the way up in the Sea Org. Suzette is a happy messenger, and Arthur is the youngest and very proud to be the Commodore's bowman. Katie, my oldest daughter, is OT6, class 6, and works in the L.A. Org, as does my grandson, Lance. The main trouble in making this talk to you here today is the fact that there's actually just too much news. Too much has been happening. 1968 and into 69, it's been a fantastic period of time. Constant, continuous advance. Early in 1968, we announced a humanitarian objective. And this is why I was very keen to make this talk for you, because this is where you can help. The humanitarian objective is to make a safe environment in which the fourth dynamic engram can be audited out. By engram, we mean the mental block that prevents peace and tolerance. By fourth dynamic, we mean that impulse to survive as mankind instead of just individuals. Obviously, we must do this. An auditing session where Scientology processing is administered cannot be continually disturbed or held in a noisy, misemotional place. Therefore, the upsets and conflicts and intolerance of the planet would prevent or slow progress in trying to audit the world. That's obvious. So we have a humanitarian objective, to make a safe environment in which the fourth dynamic engram can be audited. Therefore, we and you and all of us have a responsibility. You cannot live sanely in a world in which nations behave like criminals to their peoples and toward each other, in a world where pressure groups stamp out all rights in order to advance their own. Only to small extent, to some small extent, does the individual have any rights or justice. Therefore, by defending the individual or group against injustice and oppression, and by advancing the cause of human rights, great progress can be made toward the humanitarian objective. And you can help. It is easier than it looks. Ask your local org about gung-ho groups. There is also a policy letter, 31 January 1969, about the humanitarian objectives, which shows how this group works. It is an exciting program. So that our major public program for 1969 is called the Gung-Ho Groups. Now, in 1967, the fact that only a handful of people in the world oppose Scientology was much expanded in 1968. We learned a great deal more about this, and we learned the organizations through which they operate. We learned what organizations they use. And these are the psychiatric front organizations, usually called mental health groups of one type or another, which are in every country of the world, which makes this very international. Now, what these fellows are trying to do, apparently, is degrade the West. And if they degrade the West far enough, of course, the West can be conquered. That's fairly obvious. So we come along, and they don't quite know what to make out of us, except it becomes obvious to them that we help people and improve people and give people hope, and this cuts straight across any program involved with degrading the West. Well, that being the case, then the natural thing to do to handle this situation, and the one thing we have to do to handle the situation, is, of course, make the West more capable of defending itself, make it more efficient, make it more able to handle its problems and less likely to become involved with war. War is actually the result of incompetent governments. Now, for public statement, what we're trying to do then is to revitalize the West. Now, you should score that down as the statement which should be made over and over again. What are Scientology organizations trying to do? They're trying to revitalize the West. And how are they trying to revitalize the West? Well, they're trying to revitalize the West by putting forward and insisting upon human rights. The West cannot be revitalized without human rights. And the biggest abuse of human rights which exists today is, of course, the psychiatric violations of human rights and their abuse to patients. Now, this is our job because we are getting increasing numbers of people who have been messed up by psychiatry and in institutions, and some very, very, very ugly stories, not a few, but many, 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 are coming through into our lines now to such a degree that it is no exaggeration to say that they run psychiatric death camps. I know that sounds very rabble-rouse, but the truth of the matter is they are death camps. They lure people in, for instance, as voluntary patients. They hurt them, they mess them up, they fill them full of drugs, and they smash them down with 50,000 volts. They tear their brains up. They actually use an instrument, which is an ice pick, to do this. And the people only live for a very short time when they're treated in this way, if they don't die at once, which many of them, of course, do. But after the fellow has gone in as a voluntary patient, they won't let him out. And they do other nasty things. They sterilize him, castrate him, mess him up, sexual perversions, that sort of thing with their patients. And this is coming through to us to such an extent that it is a wonder that some of these governments don't object to murder. That sort of is interesting to me, that certain areas don't seem to object to this murder. And they seem to find out that we have occasionally a dirty fingernail, but and therefore we're very bad, but the psychiatrist murders people outright and forthrightly, and he's okay. So figure it out. It tells you that the society is pretty far gone. So anyway, what we're trying to do then is we're trying to revitalize Western society. Well, the gung-ho program, this actually will rekindle the purposes and ambitions of individuals in the public if run off according to the way it is given in the policy letters which cover it. And the general attack line is along the lines of human rights, human rights. Now, I'll give you a clue now how this is handled. Somebody comes up to you, he's a hostile person, he's hostile to Scientology, and he says to you, he says, and you say, why are you against human rights? And then, if you know anything about human rights, like the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, United Nations, that sort of thing, if you know something about this subject, you just follow it right straight up. Total attack. In other words, you don't defend Scientology. You just simply attack along this line of human rights. Somebody else comes along, hostile. He says something to you about this, or he says something in press or in a group or something like this, something about treatment or something in Scientology, and you should come back at him. Why are you in favor of psychiatric death camps? Why are you in favor of psychiatric brutality to human beings? And just let him try to handle that ball. And use these two things. Now, the gung-ho group and its activities will revitalize the West. Our technology, of course, can't help but do that. It is only fought by people who are trying to degrade the West. And in your general activities, when somebody asks you or speaks to you nicely about Scientology, why, of course, tell him or her. But the hostile person, the hostile press line, for instance, a newspaper writes an article on the subject of how bad Scientology is. Well, any Scientologist reading it should at once write the newspaper, why are you in favor of psychiatric death camps? Why are you criticizing Scientology? Why are you in favor of psychiatric death camps? And we will make some progress on this. Now, actually, what will happen, is each time Scientology is attacked, we will build into the society, if all of you do this, we will build into the society an actual stimulus response mechanism. Whereas an attack on Scientology is actually an attack on human rights, and a person making such an attack is in favor of psychiatric death camps. And if this is the way you handle this, and handle it consistently, even though you get bored with it and want something else to shoot them with, This will produce a fantastic effect. If now you are to get in touch with any persons, political, lawyers, bar associations, civil rights organizations, anything like that, or individuals who are very important politically or who own newspapers, and you push forward a campaign in favor of human rights, and you push this campaign forward, hammer it, pound it through, and object like mad to the biggest loophole they have right now on this subject. And the biggest loophole they have is the psychiatric escapement of human rights. I don't think you realize it, but in most any country of the West at this particular time, any person can be picked up and just on the say-so of a psychiatrist or without any say-so at all, and at once thrown into one of these sanitariums, and he can be hurt, injured, obliterated, given amnesia, depersonalized, battered about, and in actual fact killed. This is the biggest and most flagrant violation of human rights on the planet today, and it is very germane to us because we've got to clean up their mess one of these days, so we should do something about putting it down. Now, these are the chaps who have been fighting us for 19 years, and they're getting it back hot. By the way, we're having a fantastically violent effect upon these organizations. They are in a sweat, to be crude about it. They are so worried that in one of their largest front groups, the PRO, fellow in charge of public relations, went into a complete psychotic break just on the thought that he might possibly be questioned by a Scientologist. And he didn't even have to think that. He went in just on the subject of Scientology. They're just starting to go into complete psychotic breaks. It shows you that we are lying across a very hot line. And these are the two buttons which are repeated by other organizations, and these are the two buttons which our enemies cannot stand and about which we can immediately and directly do something. And these are, of course, human rights and psychiatric death camps. You know, the whole trouble with this talk is I just have so much to tell you. I just have so much to tell you that I haven't really got time to tell you any part of it. You gave me for the first time in 68 such a tremendous hand out in the world that events started to move with great rapidity. You don't recognize your power, actually. The public is overwhelmingly in favor of human rights and overwhelmingly against psychiatric activities. And you're fighting on the side of the majority. You're not the minority. And across the world, you're very strong and have made a fantastic and terrific impact. It's made governments do some very silly things to us. But also, it has made them back down and back up with great terror in most cases. But there's so much good news. There's so much good news that one can hardly begin to list it. On the subject of government, we had a tremendous and resounding win over the FDA. You may remember when these characters from the FDA allegedly came smashing into the Washington organization, seized all of our e-meters, broke up confessionals, drawn guns, all that sort of thing. Turns out now that they weren't federal marshals. They were Baltimore longshoremen. Very interesting. Anyway, we won, and a court opinion on the matter was very favorable to us. It found we were a religion without any doubt at all, and found out that we were in the right. And this means that the Scientology in the United States has no current attack in progress of any kind whatsoever. Cross my fingers when I say that, but you can handle it when it occurs. Now, another big piece of news was 1968 will go down as the year the celebrities came into Scientology openly. We had many celebrities before, but nothing like 1968. And in the first month of 1969, they're still flooding in. Movie stars, the famous pop groups, great writers, wonderful people. And we were right there with top Class 8 auditing to give them. So that was nice timing. Let me read you here some of the great international names who joined Scientology and benefited from its processes. Clint Walker, movie actor. Stephen Boyd, movie actor. Al Mazzini, the TV actor. Kurt Steinberg, sculptor. Sammy Davis Jr., the singer. The People, the American pop group. Darius Brubeck, Dave Brubeck's son. Gloria Swanson, the film star. Ray Bradbury, the famous science fiction writer. William Burroughs, the famous author. Mama Cass, of the Mama and Papa's famous singing group. Salvador Dali, the painter and sculptor. Countess Gisela von Thiel, the South African. Sir James and Lady Hort of New Zealand. Baron von Gildekrone, Denmark. Sir Chandos Hasnan Abrahall, the former UK diplomat. Lady Jane Hoskins Abrahall, doctor and wife of the former UK diplomat. Dean Regan, the actor. Tom Constantine of the Grateful Dead rock group. Dinah Christie, the actress. Jim McMullen, the star of Bonanza. The Beatles manager. Bobby Richards. John Hammond. Carmen Terra. Robert Lipton. Lamont Johnson. Karen Black. Robert Barron, the TV director. Harlan Carrere, the TV and movie director. Amanda Ambrose, the comedian. Knox Martin, the artist. Leonard Cohen, the poet and folk singer. Peter Kastner, the TV and movie actor. Bob Bechner, the director and folk singer. Milton Katselas, the director, movie and theater. Lloyd Greenberg, famous in his chamber music. Keith Carnacki, the drummer. The Orange Colored Sky, the American pop group. Alexandra Soroka, the sculptor. Ram Royer, the pop singer and head of the Freedom Group. Graham Railbrook, the international company founder and director. Alan Crawford, the music publisher and joint managing director of radio station. Jeremiah Whitaker, a top British society photographer. Peter Elkington, the Canadian film director. Bob Holloway, the director. Helene Ireland, the actress. Joel Kenyon, the Shakespeare actor in Stratford. The Demon, the pop group. Milton Katselas, the film director. Mary Offeniger, the concert pianist. Eula Nice, the Vogue model. These and many, many others, doctors, MPs, the number grows daily. In other words, celebrities are swinging over into Scientology. Each day, actually, I get more and more data on this, and I think it was just yesterday that I heard that Stephen Boyd, who is OT6 now, was phoning Brigitte Bardot over in Paris and telling her to get audited in short order. The press in 1968 began in some areas to become favorable to Scientology. Now, this was because the public no longer believed enemy lies, and the enemy had gone too far. The enemy found out there was nothing wrong with us, and they themselves began to back up. The trend of improvement began in Melbourne with the inquiry some years ago, but the press couldn't find anything wrong with us, and that made the lies they were fed by old vested interests just that, lies. So increasingly you will see better press, thanks to Guardian's offices over the world and the orgs that back them up, and to your own efforts. You probably read something about the Reform Code. The Reform Code of Scientology, we sent out actually, I think, I don't know the total international figure. I think in England alone it was 100,000 mailing. and we receive back anything that the people thought should be corrected. And this resulted in the Reform Code, in which the sex checks were canceled, and all old folders on this have been burned, and disconnection is canceled as a relief to those suffering family oppression. It's no longer required in SP orders, and the person has to handle. The fair game law was canceled, and the prohibition against writing down or recording professional materials was made. And this was actually the extent of the Reform Code. The public at large generally thought we were all right. We didn't have to do anything more, but these were just the small items that they did say, so we released them as a Reform Code. And here was another item of advance. The targets, the anatomy of purposes. That's very interesting, but the purposes apparently have an anatomy, and to get anything done, you have to classify different types of targets. This is a considerable advance in a field that I don't think anything has ever been done on. It improves computer technology, and it certainly improves one's clarification of what one should do to get along. And this by itself will make a considerable advance. There are policy letters concerning targets, and these are part of the Gung Ho Group policy letters and should be included with them. Another item that is of interest is called the Third Party Law. You actually can receive a copy of this. This is HCO Bulletin 26, December 1968. And this is the result of my study of some old broken-down civilizations, and it's basically why man goes to war. It's basically why you occasionally have gotten into trouble with somebody else, and it discloses the fact that it is not a two-terminal universe after all. It's a three-terminal universe, and it's called the third-party law. And it is a tremendous piece of advance. It actually is the basis of such an odd thing as marital counseling. Marital counseling can use it. It can general use. But the third party law was a considerable technical advance, and the org that is giving this tape play is authorized to give you a copy of it. Another datum, which is, I'm sure, very, very welcome to you, is attestation. Attestation, instead of examination, was returned to all training. This is quite important, actually, because examination is an invalidation, and invalidation is probably the primary button on a being. So, therefore, in all academies, you will find all training has been returned to, and in the St. Hill course as well, to attestation instead of examination. You merely attest that you have read and understand the materials. This is not does not apply to Class 8 training, and it does not apply to power processing auditors. Otherwise, why, attestation is very much the order of the day. It was taken out for a few months last year in order to straighten it out, and we were able to take the bugs out of it and get it back in, and now it has been placed back in. Probably the biggest thing that you will appreciate in this talk is triple flows. Triple flow lower grades, triple flow sub-zeros. In other words, it's triple grades. Now, triple grades is a very, very important technical advance, and I was working on this in 1968 and has finally been able to refine it, and it has been released, and we have sent it to the org where you are now so that all the auditors there that are on HGC and staff have been grooved in on it, and the Class 8 case supervisor will be able to do this. In other words, everything up to 4 is tripled. it is actually many more times than tripled in effectiveness. Now, anybody who has a grade 4 or is a grade 4 release can, in actual fact, go back and get his triple grades. And this has all been explained. But it means that the lower grade releases and the sub-zero releases have been worked over now by me to a point where they have tremendously lasting results. And it is a great benefit in stable gains. And I have done this actually so that the lower grades will mean more and so that one can get everything out of them. And these should be, at this time, available in the org where you are hearing this tape. There's another item in which you'd be interested, is the fact that a Class 2 auditor can now assign his own conditions, and a Class 4 auditor is even further ethics protected. A Class 2 auditor now, who also has a staff status too, can apply for and obtain in his own qual division a blue star rating, which permits him to assign his own ethics conditions. The Class 4 can assign his own conditions, and he has additional protections, and he is a green star, and a Class 8 can be commed only, and he is assigned a gold star. These are ethics protection actions given to persons who are upstat. We consider that anyone who is trained as an auditor is an upstat. Now, there's something I've been meaning to point out to you about Scientology that's not been mentioned in some years, and it needs to be mentioned because of the exactness of Class 8 and the stress on compliance with the exact processes. I don't think Class 8 was well understood. The message was not one that one had to comply. It was that when one used these exact processes in this exact way, he got 100% tech on all of his pre-clears. The message was that we had achieved 100% tech with these exact processes wherever they were exactly applied. And with one or more Class 8s in every org, we could achieve 100% results, which we are now doing. Now, this is what I haven't pointed out for some time. There are two branches to Scientology. One is Scientology, the philosophy. It is a religious philosophy, but it is a philosophy. And that is something you use to think with, to wonder with, to accept or reject. And the other is Scientology, the applied philosophy, and that is where it applies directly to processing. Now, there's a lot more to Scientology, of course, than processing. Philosophy means a love or pursuit of wisdom or a search for the underlying causes and principles of reality. And we certainly have that in the body of Scientology. A great number of principles and causes exist in Scientology. It is probably the largest written and spoken body of work of any philosophy ever undertaken. Out of this, many things can be made. And of it, we can say such things as, what is true for you is true for you in Scientology. This is a vast area of observations in the humanity. It is yours to think with, work with, accept or reject as you wish. It is still there. It is still valuable. No matter how old the book is, no matter how old the tape, it is still part of the body of Scientology known as philosophy. There is nothing authoritarian about it. It is yours to accept or not as you see fit. It is Scientology, the philosophy. Nothing has changed it. Now, there's this other thing called applied Scientology or processing. Because it obtains a result and is valuable to you personally, processing could seem to be the whole of Scientology. Well, it isn't. Goodness, when you think of the number of policy letters we have on organization and these other things, and look at this new third-party law, that is actually something you think with, not something you process with. Now, Scientology processing today is made up only of those things which apply uniformly to all cases. Processing is made up of common denominators which apply to all life. There are no variables, no different cases, and this is a considerable achievement. It is a specialized form of Scientology and a specialized use. And these exact processes must be exactly done to produce an exact result. It is like making pie. If you don't use the same ingredients the same way in each case, why, you don't get pie. And we call this standard tech. And if an auditor is to see it, then you really have to get him to do it exactly that way a few times. And suddenly he does see it. And by doing it, why, he sees in the pre-clear that it is the right way to do it. And after that, he doesn't require any further persuasion. He has seen it. So it is true for him. I doubt you could make a Class 8 trained auditor do tech in any non-standard way. He has seen the fantastic precision of modern processes. He knows he can get results that way, and so he does it without any variation. He isn't doing it because I say so. He's doing it because it works, and he knows he can make real pie. Not to compare you to a pie, of course. Anyway, the whole of this is that we tend to lose sight of the fact that there have been many, many observations in Scientology. It is a very wide work, and it is not just a mental therapy, although it is probably the only mental therapy on the planet today, undoubtedly. Possibly some of you are worrying about what happened to OT7. And just to show you that research isn't dead in spite of all the traffic I have had to handle in 68, why, here's some news on it. On OT7 and OT8, I have very nearly completed OT8. They are not written up at this date. They will not be issued until we have the enemy under better control. That's bait, of course, to encourage you to give me even more of a hand in his demise. Seriously, though, OT7 is all complete, if not in its final form, and it has to do with life and relationship to life. Some people still working on OT3 are, in fact, really hitting against OT7. OT8 is the section that handles the physical universe, and there's a lot done on it, but I still work at it daily. Well, that about sums up the news on the battlefront, because make no mistake, we are at war. But one thing I do want to tell you here in Ronna's Journal 68 is actually I'm not mad at anybody. And it's sort of goes against the grain to have to engage in some sort of warfare in which I have no personal interest. I finally figured it out that with all of these cases, these psychiatric cases and so forth that kept coming our way, that were all butchered up, that it would be a jolly good thing if we put an end to that type of activity, because it would make our work enormously easier. But I'm not mad at anybody. Now, we have an ethics system, and actually, I'm not very happy with pushing my friends around. There are too many bad hats in the world. And forgive me if anyone has been pushed around too hard or has had his own rights violated. Now, the real thing we have to guard against is becoming ourselves intolerant of the freedom of others to believe. We do have a parallel in the early Christians. And the early Christians had a difficult time because they spoke of human rights, love, spiritual freedom, just as we do. And we in Scientology are speaking of the same things, but in more modern language and with more positive results as far as cases and so on are concerned. The early Christian was banned and harassed by a whole empire, yet he won. And the resistance and challenge strengthened him and made him refine his creed and conduct. The same thing is happening to us. And the early Christian was hated by governments and adored by the people at large. That's very true of us. And we are undergoing the same phenomena. The early Christian, because he was persecuted, eventually came into possession of the entire Roman world. And that was the whole world that there was. He did not have to conquer it. It was forced on him. So there are historical parallels. But what I'm trying to say is that the Christian failed the test with his later inquisition, and to some degree failed to bring his message truthfully to civilization all the way through, so that people could talk about love thy neighbor and pick up a rifle and shoot him. Our greater appeal to mankind, whatever he knows of us, is that we stand for truth and for human freedom. And mankind at this stage, where he has heard of us, knows only that we stand for greater spiritual freedom and greater human rights. He dimly senses we are the foes of inhumanity and brutality. And actually, that would be good enough for him to join us with a whole heart. And so every Scientologist should enlarge on this message. We must cease to individuate. We must carry our message broadly to the world. Indeed, we must prepare our own way with an emphasis on greater human rights. And in doing that, we mustn't start ourselves witch hunting and raising the devil with our friends. And it sometimes hurts me when I think of people being upset or knocked about, because it's happening to us is no reason we should do it to others, ever. Now, in conclusion, I would like to ask you a bit more of a favor. You probably have the idea that I'm so busy that I never have a chance to write or read your letters or something like that. Well, that's pretty much a myth. The letters come through to me by the, well, they're real tonnage, but I read them, and I want you to write to me and tell me things you think I ought to know about, what we should be doing, ideas you have had in order to forward the good cause. Will you do that for me, please? And please, for my sake, don't forget one thing. I am your friend. I am not from this planet. I am trying my best to do a job to bring tolerance and humanity to this planet in a very materialistic and often cruel age. I appreciate your help. I appreciate it more than I can tell you. And I wish to thank you and thank every staff member, thank every Scientologist for everything they're doing to make a better world come true. And now I want to take you back just a little bit to New Year's Eve at the end of 1968, when a recounting of the year's events were given at a party aboard the flagship of the Sea Organization.
Well, and now for the serious part of the show. We have taken great time and had a research team, and we have gone over all the accomplishments made all over the world. And we want to give these to you now, in case you might have forgotten. Some you might not have heard of. We've taken it all over the world, every country, and compiled the best ones, and we're going to bring them to you now. I'm going to ask the lovely ladies on my right to bring me the envelopes of the countries selected, and I'll have them read them out to you. May I have the first envelope, please? Thank you. Now, I'm going to ask you to open the first envelope, and inside you'll find a list of the accomplishments as programmed by the computer made by the United States of America in the year 1968.
The accomplishments for the United States of America during the year 1968. Where are they, sir?
Well, they're right there on all that paper.
Yes. Is it written, sir?
Well, yes. They were put there this morning by the computer unit. It's right there on all the paper. Just look.
I can't find it, sir. You want to look here and help me? Just look.
There's nothing written on all the paper there. Well, there certainly is a lot of paper. All right. That was the United States of America. Now, may I have the second envelope, please? Thank you. The United Kingdom. Now I'm going to have you open the envelope and read out the list of accomplishments made by the United Kingdom in the year 1968.
Where is it, sir? It's not in here. Oh, this small piece of paper?
Well, they certainly were conservative, weren't they? Well, now let's go to the third country, Russia. May I have the next envelope, please? All right, now I'm going to ask you to open the envelope and read out the list of accomplishments made by Russia during the year 1968.
Oh, yes, here we have some.
Oh, good.
The accomplishments for Russia during the year 1968. We did what they said they did, but we did it first.
Well, there you have it. The three big powers. And now, seriously, and this is in all seriousness, we've gotten together a list of what has happened in AD 18, actually, as far as Scientology is concerned. And there's been a lot of action during 1968. And we just want to go over it for you. We just want to go over these things for you now.
The winds of 1968. January, Run's Journal 67. Run speaks of the wall of fire at the upper levels above Clear. AO Royal Scotman established at Valencia. January 4th. First OT3, Chris Weideman of Johannesburg. The first to follow L. Ron Hubbard's lead through the wall of fire. January 5th, Pam Piercy, London, England, attained Section 4 OT, the first OT4. January 14th, the world's first clear, John McMaster, sets out on his historical world tour of all Scientology orgs as L. Ron Hubbard's personal representative, bringing Ron's message. The answers have been found.
Amen!
January 17, first Section 5 OT, Pat Scafari, Buffalo, New York. January 30, first OT6 attained by Otto Roos, Class 7 Auditor of Auckland, New Zealand. February, the Commodore goes on a very successful mission to Sardinia, Sicily, Tunis, with the Enchanter and the Avon River. Data for past track recall obtained.
Highly successful public lecture tour starts going out from St. Hill around the United Kingdom. March, AO Alicante established. Training ship with two orgs, Advanced Org and Sea Org. Lyle Sodaro is 1,000th clear. In April, test of whole track recall published. May 18th, the advanced organization giving the clearing courses and OT courses is established in Edinburgh, Scotland, AOUK. June 15th, writer William Burroughs, world-famous American modern writer, attains state of clear. June 17th, happy started in Scotland. June 26th, Pubs Org is established in its own four-story building in Edinburgh. July, Denmark's first org opens in Copenhagen. August 16th, the American St. Hill Organization in Los Angeles, ASHO, is announced. The St. Hill Special Briefing Course and Power Processing are made available to Americans and Canadian Scientologists on their own continent.
August 17th, publication day of the brand new L. Ron Hubbard book, The Phoenix Lectures. August 17th, 18th, 19th. The big Horizons Unlimited Congress is held in Croydon, England. John McMaster lectures. August 21st, publication day for another new book by L. Ron Hubbard, Introduction to Scientology Ethics. September 7th, AOLA announced and established in Los Angeles, making clears and OTs in the United States of America. September 18th, two more orgs in South Africa, Bulawayo and Pretoria. September 23rd, the Paris Franchise Center becomes the first French Scientology org. October 3rd, Sweden's first Scientology org opens in Gothenburg. October 14th, the new Auditor's Code.
October 17th. After 3 weeks of intense training aboard the flagship, the first 35 Class 8 auditors fly back to their orgs to get in 100% standard tech. October 18th. Commodore becomes captain of Royal Scotsman. November 1st. International amnesty on the achievement of standard tech. November 18th. The Class 8 auditors course commences at the advanced orgs. The remaining ceremony of the renaming ceremony of the ship Apollo. Enchanter's name is changed to Diana, Avon River to Athena. Fantastic port relations with Corfu. Excellent newspaper articles about us. Apollo declared in the condition of action affluence. November 20th, Sea Org acquires two new ships, Bluefin and Nekambi. November, December, three new orgs in Sweden and a new one in Wales. December 3rd, Guardian's office and Sea Org have big win against the British government and the proposed inquiries into Scientology. New South Wales and Australia suddenly ceased a heavy attack.
Also in 1968, the celebrities came into Scientology and with a big bang. December 26th, the Bulletin Policy Letter, the Third Party Law, is published announcing the cause of war having been located. In 1968, there were 1,000 clears made. 13 new organizations. Organizations were established, two being advanced organizations and one being Saint Hill Organization in America. In 1968, the enemy were identified, located, and attacked. There were three power missions, to name just a few of the missions that went out from the Sea Org in 1968. And most importantly, and very importantly, in 1968, very successful research was done into the upper levels, OT-7 and OT-8. And now,
this will be the year we'll triple all the stats. This will be the year of wearing straight hats.
And now speak, sir. Speaking for all Scientologists.
We just had to tell it for real that the enemy in England has just called the St. Hill Organization, W.W. Guardian's office, to ask for a conference.
What a way to end the year. Well, so after that, we'll put our ending on. Not to dampen it. But I just want to say, speaking for all Scientologists, and I'm sure I am, that we promise that we will make the coming year, AD 19, the year of Scientology.